right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Derek Piper. We're going to get you ready for Illinois and Michigan. And Derek, a lot of times it's just somebody like me trying to explain what I think might happen in the game, and somebody like you that goes to the games. I used to have that press pass down there low, but now I let people like you do it. You know, I sit
where the beer is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, that's even better, right? But today we've got an expert to talk Illinois basketball, and that's Jamal Walker, of course, that we've been visiting with Jamal and his wife Rebecca about the athletes versus epilepsy. And again, we'll talk about that website all day and have people go on and try to help out, just raising awareness for this, which I think is a wonderful thing. Well, Coach, it is a big one tomorrow against Michigan. The Wolverines come to town. I guess let me go back. Coming to town off a couple of tough losses, obviously. How hard is it to get over the two losses, like the one to Miami and then, of course, the one to Maryland? I just can't imagine how hard that is the next day for you guys to get over that, the players.
Yeah, it's difficult at times, but, I mean, you got to quickly move on because they come at you pretty fast, and especially when you come into Big Ten play. So you can't allow one situation to affect the next, you know. So if you carry that over and drag that out, it can have an effect or an impact on the game and your preparation. So what we try to do is try to prepare the same way, make the few adjustments that we need to make, and then we'll get the ball tipped up and we'll be ready to roll.
I know Coach Underwood came out after that game, said there were a lot of tears in that locker room. I mean, man, that's a gut punch to lose a game like that where you were leading the entire time. And for that to happen, I mean, you know, listen, you're playing the third-ranked team in the country on their home court. You know they're going to make a run. College basketball and basketball in general is all about that. But how tough is it to digest? How tough was it to go back and watch that film maybe, especially that second half?
For me personally, it wasn't that tough because I think my philosophy is, as a coach and really in where I live my life is to I never lose, I learn.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So I try to look at, okay, where can I get better, win or loss? It's the same approach. It's the same mentality. It's the same process. So that one, because I think the guys played at such a high level with their effort, with their toughness, those are the ones where, as a coach, I sleep very well. Knowing that they gave their maxed effort. And when it comes to the execution, it was pretty obvious we didn't execute some things on the offense as well. But those are things we can teach. And so I'm just excited from the Miami game where the effort wasn't near as good, the toughness wasn't near as good, to a level, high level of Maryland where it was toughness.
No doubt.
It was grit. It was grimy. It was who we want to be. I can live with that. Our staff can live with that. Yep. Now it's on us to make the adjustments to help them so they can prepare the same way, but yet make the adjustments and execute better.
Especially given the opponent, I think it's pretty easy to say that was your best effort defensively. And I told you before the show, the best I've seen you guys contest at the rim. With a lot of your focus on the defensive end now, what did you come away from thinking about that? And how do you feel about the way you guys are playing defense?
I think where we're playing defense was obviously from Miami to there's night and day. I mean, and that just kind of show you when you're – how a difference 1 or 2 days can make, the mentality of your players can make to how you play. And so we made the adjustments we need to make. We had a great game plan. Coach Gentry was the lead scout on that one, and he did a great job. And, you know, the whole staff was bought into it. The players bought into it, and they executed it, you know. And so, when you're a coaching staff, that's what you want. That's what you want to see. And so now it's about doing that consistently, and that's what we're the next step we need to make.
Mm-hmm. Michigan comes to town. What challenges do they present for your defense?
Man, you know what? Coach Beilein, I have a high level of respect for when he was there. Now Juwan Howard's there, and I have a high level of respect for Juwan just watching him from a distance because he's actually integrated his way of playing within John Beilein. So you see a lot of Beilein, you see some of the system, and you see some of the sets that they run, and yet they play kind of with his blend of more pace and more speed. So they present challenges in transition because they still are excellent in transition. They still shoot their threes. They provide great spacing on the floor, and I think they have one of the elite passers in the game in college basketball, and Xavier Simpson, who's top five in the country in assists.
I think Kofi passed the test, definitely. this last week against Maryland, but he's got another tough one coming up with John Teske. More of a kind of a traditional big man, I guess, you know, just kind of post up and use his body. Are you excited? I'm excited to watch that matchup. Is it fun just watching Kofi continue to learn, continue to get better, and just kind of each challenge thrown at him, he's like, well, let's go.
There's no question. I think the Kofi, what I love about Kofi is what Brad has said about him. He listens. And
yeah.
I think he retains information really well. Not only does he retain it, he utilizes it on the floor and he can translate it. So you're going to continue to see him grow because of that in increments. And so you see he's doing well now. He's going to continue to rise.
Absolutely.
And so because he continues to rise, it's going to make our team better. And so I'm excited about that. And here's the thing that's kind of unique right now. I've been in the league now 8 years, and I've never seen so many really good big men in a long time.
I agree.
I mean, he's got Teske. He's went against Jalen Smith. He's got Luke Garza coming soon.
Right.
He's got Caleb Wesson after
yep.
that. He's got Watkins at Penn State. And Nate Rovers at
right.
Wisconsin. It's just like it keeps coming and keeps coming. And then I look to the point guard situation. I'm like, there's so many really good point guards in our league. And I mean, it's like the league, I don't understand how people could say the Big Ten was going to have a down year. I just don't. It's probably one of the more – I wouldn't say we have the pros that we probably had in the past in some areas, but the depth and the quality of really good college players is really, really there.
Okay, I'm going to raise my hand because I did it. I was the one that said.
I was going to say, you should have told us over the summer.
Right, right. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Coach, because when you look at the top scores from last year, it's like something like crazy, like 15 of the top 20 guys are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, a fool like me looked at that and thought, well, listen, I mean, you know, what else can there be after that great year? But you're right. It's downright scary when you start watching these Big Ten teams play and you see the talent that even a Penn State who's long and Mike Watkins just does things. And, you know, you watch that and you're right. I mean, this Big Ten is – good luck coaching against that. That's not a fun conference to go through every year, is it?
No, I actually enjoy it. I really do. I mean, I feel like that's – as a coach and as a player, that's what you want. That is exactly what you want. You want the opportunity to play against the best
sure.
every day in and day out because you want that challenge. And so and bringing that up, that's what I think Kofi's excited about. I think
yeah.
he's excited about the opportunity to play against these guys night in and night out. And that's going to raise his intensity level, and he's got to continue to be consistent, which makes him better.
Enjoying this interview with Jamal Walker, assistant to the head coach at University of Illinois basketball, also defensive coordinator. Jamal, you mentioned – learning something from every game in that Maryland game. I asked Brad about this today. Are you still learning and trying to figure out the late game situations as to where the ball is supposed to go or what we're supposed to do or who we are as an offense when times get tough and we need one?
Yeah, I think we are. And that's okay. I mean, it's December. I think sometimes when people look at your team and they say, well, they got Io back and Dre back and Trent, that those situations should be more ironed out. They're still learning each other in mm-hmm. different ways. Not only are they a year older, but their games have improved. They're better players. And so they're still trying to find that flow within what they do. And not only that, but Georgie's in a different role than he is last year. I mean, he's in a totally different role. He's playing more four than he was last year. And so that affects his opportunities and it affects how he plays the game consistently. And so I think you will find as the season goes on, our team and staff continues to learn more about each other, that those situations will definitely get cleaned up.
A lot of expectations on Io, a lot of pressure.
Sure.
How do you handle that as a coaching staff to make sure that he's focused on the right things? And do you think that's something that maybe is in his mind or something that he has to deal with? Obviously, it's different for someone that's in mock drafts and pick preseason Big Ten and all that.
First of all, I've never experienced that. So I wasn't a good enough player to feel that experience. But, you know, when you try to look through a kid's eyes or, you know, in a young man like Io, the expectations are high, but I think he has high expectations of himself. So I don't think he looks around and tries to achieve the expectations of others. I think he tries to get to the expectations of himself. So I think he puts the pressure on himself because that's how good he wants to be. I think that's important to him. I don't think he's playing for anything other than to win basketball games.
Sure.
I really do. In saying that, I think because he's that competitive at times, and we have a lot of other guys like that, they want to make a play. And sometimes when you want to make a play and it's not quite the play you need to make, you're going to make some mistakes, you know. But I'd rather have a guy who has the ball or on the court who wants the ball in the late game situations and wants to make a play than the guy who doesn't. And so as a staff, that's on us to put them in position. Amen. So he can make that play.
Jamal Walker, Illinois assistant basketball coach with us. Just a couple more questions for Coach. Coach, you know, 12 wins last year, obviously the fans, you know, they're starting to get a little bit antsy, obviously. And then this year you come out, the loss to Miami at home. You know, I think we're all smart enough to kind of understand near the end of the year, those are games you hope to win, obviously, because, you know, those are maybe losses that could hurt you down the road. And then, of course, you play your butt off at Maryland. And I mean, it's amazing what one thing can do. You beat Miami, you play like that at Maryland. Everybody's just going crazy about this game tomorrow night. Now, Illinois fans are kind of on the on the ledge, and I'm kind of the leader there. On the ledge of saying, oh, man, I feel like we have to beat Michigan. How do you kind of feel that stress, if you will, as a staff and as a team, and then not let it get to you? In other words, we can stress as fans. You guys can't, right? You kind of have to control it. And I guess, what do you say to the fans that are maybe stressing out a little bit right now?
They can stress out all they want to. that's a fan. You know, that's,
yeah, absolutely.
And I love that about Illinois is how passionate they are. I mean, I'm gonna use that more as a positive than I am a negative, because I'd rather them care at a deep passion like we have fans who do than Amen. The ones who don't. So as far as us as the pressure, like it's cliche, but it's the next game in front, man.
Yep.
I mean, they all count for a W or an L, you know, and one, you don't get extra points for winning at Maryland. It's either you won or you didn't, you know. And in our case, we did not. And at Miami, we didn't take care of business. But I would say probably to people out there, there's 19 more.
Sure.
On the schedule of Big Ten. We still have Missouri. We still have non-conference games left. And so they all are impactful. And so that stress is going to stay. And that's why the process must stay consistent, because regardless of who we play, where we play, we're going to do what we do, and the process in which we do it is the same. And so that's what we're trying to achieve as a staff, and try to convey that to our players.
Great answer.
Georgie has played well when his mom is in the building. Trent has played well in general, but his parents are going to be back in town.
They are in town tonight.
They're in town.
I love it.
So I can feel Rod Frazier right now. I haven't seen him. That's my guy. Great guy.
So we're expecting 30 from Trent tomorrow, right?
Why not?
Right.
You know what? When I love that. When kids are far away from home, nowadays I think you see more kids leaving what I would call the breadbasket, the 4 or 5 hour radius from home, because of social media, because of TV. You see more kids expanding out to go see, you know, to go to school because of they can be seen on TV
yep.
and all these television networks, and you know, so those things are good when I see parents in the stands, because. You know, there's nothing better when I was a player to see your parents sitting up there and playing, you know, when they don't get an opportunity to as much, maybe some other kids. And so, you know, I expect those kids to play. But, yeah, I don't think they put any pressure or undue stress on themselves to do anything any different.
You played at SLU, right?
I did.
Yeah. Did you guys ever play Southern SIU?
Yeah.
How did we do against you? do you remember?
You know what? At the time, I played at St. Louis from 95 to 99, and I think in 1998, we had Larry Hughes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we were down, I
guess,
15
well.
or 20, and I don't know. No, we were down. They had Rashard Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
Really
those, yeah, absolutely.
And Coach Heron was there,
yep.
I do believe.
Yep.
And the year before, they had Troy Hudson.
Oh,
really
yeah.
Really good player.
From
really
Carbondale.
Good player from Carbondale. And Rashard Tucker was there, and I call that actually is funny you said that, because that was, to me, that was Larry Hughes' coming out party, because he had, I think, 25 in the second half. And we
I
came from behind and won, and I looked at, I remember looking at a teammate, and I'm like, this dude's really good.
<He's>
he was a McDonald's All-American, but I'm like, yo, this dude's good, man.
I've got to say one funny story, and I'll let you go, because I know you're wasting a lot of time here with us, and I appreciate it, but I was doing television in Southern Illinois, and I covered Troy at Carbondale. And so when he, I think he eventually went, or originally went to Michigan, right? And then he came back to SIU. And I don't know why, but he and Tucker both came to the rec. And there was Dylan Bates was another kid for Carbondale. They were at the rec one day playing basketball. And I was there playing basketball. And we just happened to team up. So as we're getting ready to play, Troy looks over at me and he goes, I got him. Because, you know, I'm covering him on TV. He came down, and I was giving him, like, 6 feet. And he made a move on me, and I fell. And I'm like, all right, I'm out. I'm not playing this anymore. He was quick as can be, and that's what's fun, right? The memories and remembering great players like that.
Yeah, I think he did the same thing to me, but I think I was really on the court.
Watching.
I feel you.
That was on film.
I feel you. Mine's on film. Right, exactly. Right. Like, it's on VHS, which I don't know if anybody. You probably, I don't know what kind of listeners you have, but VHS, people, do you know what that is?
Yeah,
you know?
We'd have to go buy a VCR to do that.
Yes. What is that, you know?
The VCR ball back in 95.
Exactly. Oh, man, that's so true. Jamal Walker, it was such a pleasure to meet you and your lovely wife, Rebecca, and I can't tell you how much my thoughts are with you guys and what a wonderful thing you're doing to bring awareness to the epilepsy. And, of course, tomorrow night, Epilepsy Awareness Night. So everybody at halftime, stay in your seats, man. There's going to be some cool knockout games, and Braylon's going to be the guy we're rooting for. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize to all the other kids. Never root against a kid, but, man, I'm going for Braylon in this thing. So, again, it's athletesversepilepsy.com. That's athletes and then VS. epilepsy.com, and then look for Team Walker, and you can make a donation. You can make a difference to a disease so far that is not curable, and hopefully if we keep battling at it. So, Coach, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck, of course, in the future with everything. It was great to meet you and your wife.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay. Jamal Walker, great stuff with Coach.